Donnie. Happy New Year. Welcome back, listeners, to Season 2, Episode 1 of A Real Page Turner. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mara. Great to get our second season started off. This is exciting.
Yes, it is. And what better way to start the new year off than with a book that really shows the party scene other than The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think we could invite everyone to raise their glass and click their champagne as we, celebrate this classic novel published in 1925 by the one and only F. Scott Fitzgerald. And it was set in the jazz age of New York City and really is a book that has become very popular within high schools and in the scholarly arena.
Yeah, the book has been adapted to film several times. The first iteration was in 1974, but the one we are going to be discussing is more recent. It was from 2013. It was directed and written by Baz Luhrmann, and it featured a very notable cast, including Tommy McGuire, Carey Mulligan, Joel Edgerton, and former Growing Pains star Leonardo DiCaprio as Jay Gatsby in the lead role.
Yes. Leonardo DiCaprio, I really did like him in this role. The book, though, it's funny. I was reading more on this book, and although it was received well by the critic, it was really a commercial disappointment, where it only sold about 20,000 copies in like a 6-month time span. But it got popularity during World War II because the Council on Books and Warfare sent free copies to servicemen overseas, which I thought was really interesting. I didn't know that they necessarily did that, but they sent them over, and that's really how it got launched into a more popular book, by being sent overseas to servicemen.
That's very interesting. It's funny that you mentioned that the book was a commercial or a critical success, but not so much commercial initially. And the movie is kind of the opposite, because it was a commercial success, but not so much critically. It has only a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards in the technical categories, and it won both of them, for production design and costume design. And one thing, I would say about the movie is that it was, very visually stunning. Colors and the sets and the costumes and everything are just, were very top notch. So I think the those Oscar wins are very much deserved.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought the costumes really supported the film in a way that really helped with the time period and, just kind of showing the extravagance of what was going on at Gatsby's house and the lavish lifestyle, and I thought it was really, really well done with the costumes in that aspect. I really did like them. And I thought, when we talked about costumes, there's a scene when the book first opens with, probably a little bit further in the movie than in the book, when Nick Carraway goes to the Buchanan house to meet Jordan Baker and Daisy. And in the book, they talk about how they were dressed in white and the room felt deflated. And I was kind of wondering, it kind of felt when Tom came in the room, they said the room deflated. And I was kind of wondering if they were going to carry that through. And I thought the way he did it in the movie was really interesting. And they both were wearing white, but the scene kind of opened with like billowing white curtains. And I don't know if you remember that, but in the Buchanan house, it was like billowing white curtains.
Yeah.
Nick Carraway first came in, and I thought they did that like really well in a short visual snippet. When the book, they talk about it a little more, as we know, the scenes are more drawn out in a book than in a movie because they're trying to condense it. But I thought that was really good. And the costume and the set design was excellent for that.
Yeah, it's very costumes, I think, are a very important part of filmmaking, especially like in this film, but in other aspects too. Because it was interesting watching like the kind of like juxtaposition of, where you'd have the parties and it's all glamorous and that, but then they had those scenes in like the other side of town, like when you meet like George Wilson is a mechanic and all the work, and all the workers, and they're all kind of like, dirty and grubby. And, they have that billboard that's like faded and falling apart and everything that, really kind of shows, the different levels of society.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Like the class where they call it the Valley of Ashes.
Yeah.
and it makes it, you know, almost has like a connotation that it's dirtier and dusty and, you know, not like the glimmery Long Island, you know, West Egg, East Egg area. What I did think was interesting, and I had to go back and kind of read the book again, because I'm like, I don't think that's how it works, because it is a first person narration by Nick Carraway, but in the book, and it is a first person narration in the movie, except they kind of added another prop to it with being the doctor in the sanatorium. So like in the book, you don't see necessarily Nick Carraway writing this story. Like he's kind of, I feel like he writes it and you're reading it, right? But in the movie, he's in the sanatorium for alcohol, which is kind of a result of this life of extravagance, I believe. And this doctor is guiding him through the story, how he narrates it and prompting him with questions.
Yeah, there's an interesting like framing device about that. And, you know, and you see that a lot in films and that, like a lot of flashback and framing devices like that, where, you know, the characters are reflecting on these times. You know, it's kind of a popular, like almost like a cliche trope in movies. Like some, I guess, you know, some books have something like that, but I think it's more popular in movies, just in my summation.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they kind of use that as a springboard in the movie into the story. Yeah. You know, and it kind of makes you see kind of the effect that it all had on Nick Carraway, where you don't really get that in the book. I mean, you know how it's affecting him and you know he's disgusted, but not to the point where he'd be in like a sanitarium.
Yeah. And I find it kind of funny because one of the early on in the film, you know, Nick says like he'd only been drunk twice in his life. It was like, and then he describes, you know, the apartment party was when that happened. And then, you know, because it's funny, like he'd only been drunk twice in his life, but now like as the result of his association with Gatsby and everything, now he's checked into a sanatorium for his alcoholism. So it's very that's just a very interesting point.
Yeah, and I also wondered, you know, there's a few areas in the book where they mention kind of like, well, we can get into Tom Buchanan, but when Tom Buchanan is kind of pontificating about the rise of what he calls the colored empire in movies, and I wondered, you know, there's a few times where the book, you know, talks a little bit about Tom Buchanan's racist overtones and thoughts. And I wondered if the movie, since it was written in 2013, was it going to like chop those out? And it didn't. They didn't go into what he was saying as much, but they did talk about the book that he was talking about, that Rise of the Colored Empire. But the way the book did it, I liked it, is that he then glanced around him at the butlers who were Black, and kind of, you knew what he was talking about then. So they didn't spend, you know, a paragraph or two like the book did, really drawing out his, you know, racism or his racist thoughts. And the movie kind of showed it as he like made that one comment and then glanced around. But I, you know, the movie I thought did a good job of not removing kind of that character trait from Tom Buchanan.
Yeah, that's just another example of showing, not telling, that the movies can show something to get the point across. I felt like Joel Edgerton really did a good job in this, in his role. He's very rough and gruff personality, and that, and obviously he's not the most upstanding citizen at all, but it was pretty faithful to the book that, you know, he's not a good guy. And, you know, Edgerton, I think, really put that point across.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought Tom Buchanan was pretty faithful to the book, his character. I mean, we got that he was a jerk, that, you know, he cheated on his wife and had a lot of money and kind of thought the rules didn't apply to him. But I thought that was a really good one.
I also liked in the movie the actress who played Jordan, I believe her name is Elizabeth Debicki. I just really liked her part as well. I think she just really kind of set the tone, and very 1920s-esque, and like kind of nailed the part. So
yeah, I liked her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, was a great Gatsby. You know, he did a good job of putting on those airs and that mysterious, you know, personality where you never really knew his background. And I think, you know, of course, in the book, you get more of his background, right? You understand a little bit more about where he came from and the father and all of that. But you get that because in the movie, you don't get the funeral scene with him meeting his dad or talking to Mr. Wolfshine with Nick Carraway talking to them. So that's kind of cut. I mean, you get that nobody came, but you don't get, you know, this whole scene with the father. So you don't understand as much about Gatsby at the end as you did in the book. But, you know, I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was really just a great kind of elusive. He did the job of being kind of elusive very well.
Yeah, there was an interesting thing. I was reading an article about the differences between the book and the movie. And one thing was how one difference was how Gatsby is introduced, that like in the book, it's just the Nick Carraway has a conversation with this man and, you know, doesn't realize that he's Gatsby yet. Whereas in the movie, it's a more pomp and circumstance type of introduction to him. And it's said that like, yeah, it would have been pretty hard to do, to have the that be faithful to the book, because of course it's Leonardo DiCaprio. You can't just have him in there, you know, speaking to pretending to be someone else and talking with him. It was kind of well done that you could hear someone talking but didn't see him, and then all of a sudden there's Leo there raising the glass, and that image that has become the popular internet meme.
Yeah, and the other character I really liked is Myrtle, because I think I love Isla Fisher. And I thought it was her the whole time, and I hadn't looked at the cast list, but I felt like they transformed her so much. And I think it was like the way her lipstick was done that I had a hard time figuring out if it was her. And I really like Isla Fisher, and I thought she did a really good job of Myrtle and kind of that extravagance of, you know, a Myrtle like that lifestyle and lying with the sister to go to New York to spend time with Gatsby. You know, I thought that was really good. You know, and I think for me, I think they took a little bit of violence, for lack of a better word, out of the movie, because in the book, you know, that party scene at the apartment where Tom slaps Myrtle, you know, they kind of just, you hear a commotion in the background and you see him come out and slap her. But in the book, like, that's a very big scene. You know, in the movie, it feels a little bit surreal where he comes out and you see them tussling in the background. But the party scene in the apartment is much more explicit in the book where he slaps her. You know, you see it, but it's not kind of at the forefront, you know. So I thought that was interesting that they chose to do that. But I really did like Myrtle's character.
Yeah, like in the movie, like the part really isn't all that big. Like, she only has a couple scenes, but I think, you know, she really, you know, made the most of it and was really good. You know, and another thing, I wonder like if it was a little toned down in the movie, because, you know, obviously with that type of violence is very controversial in that did they want to turn it down? Because, you know, it's one thing to write about something and have it in a book, and another thing to actually see it on screen, and, you know, could turn a lot of people off, you know, just surmising what that was, where they kind of just wanted to, you know, be this like dirty little secret, but not actually show the violent stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, and speaking about the parties scenes, you know, we didn't, in the movie, you don't get to meet a lot of those people who are at Gatsby's parties. And I think probably because there's only so much time, right? And we're really just being introduced to the main characters and the people who are important to the story. Whereas in the book, you know, we meet more of them, you know, that we meet the husband and wife who are bickering and know their last name. And we see the people who are leaving in the car accident. You know, there's more like name dropping in the book. And I think that's just kind of setting the social circle status of saying where people are, which you don't really need to do in the movie, because we see it in their clothes and the way they're interacting with each other. So that was just the only thing, like, I thought was, you know, different, but different for a reason and not good or bad. It's just that, you know, there's less characters to get to know in the movie.
Yeah, kind of reminded me of the one we in a previous episode we did with this is where I leave you, where in that book we met like a lot of the people attending the funeral, whereas in the movie, it, you know, it was kind of glossed over. And I think, because it's kind of more cut to the chase and you're able to show the statuses of people and who they are just in quick little snippets.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that when they were sitting Shiva. We did. Right. You're right.
Yeah. And speaking of like performances, I did enjoy most of them. One like I really didn't take to was Tobey Maguire. Like, I just kept, you know, seeing as like it was just too Spider-Man. He was just too he was too boyish for me. And
I didn't mind it. And I feel like that's a hard role to cast, right? Because you don't want someone who's going to outshine Gatsby or Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's kind of somebody who can't be too sophisticated, because because they're an outsider to the New York scene, you know? So I think that's like a hard one to try to get somebody. So I thought he did a good job with it. And maybe because I'm not really terribly familiar with Spider-Man that I don't have that like image in my head of that. Yeah. And then Mr. Wolfsheim, the only difference in his character is that he had molars as a tie pen in the movie and not as cufflinks. The book, he had molar cufflinks, people's molars. But regardless whether it was cufflink or a tie pen, we got the gist, right? That he was not a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Would you want to talk about the music in the film?
Yeah, let's.
It's very, you know, interesting. I remember when I was watching, I watched it last night. I watched and I see I've seen the opening credits and it says that Jay-Z was one of the producers.
Yeah, I really liked the music. Yeah. You know, it gives it a modern feel.
Yeah,
it was. Without changing the story or the characters.
Yeah, it's like described as like anachronistic, where they took like modern music and put it, you know, against this historical backdrop. So it was very interesting, and that's kind of a calling card of Baz Luhrmann's career, because he's done that with Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet as well. So
yeah, I find his interpretation of the scenes for a movie is just amazing. You know, like it's very showy. It doesn't change the story, but it like enhances it. It doesn't, you know, change the overall theme. Yeah, there's little things here and there that are missing, but it doesn't change the overall, you know, thematic events. And I really like what he does with it. You know, Romeo and Juliet is one of my favorites that he's done. And I feel the same way about The Great Gatsby. Like, I just think it's so visually exciting. And then the music supports that and makes it just seem like amps up that party scene and kind of New York City vibe that he was going for. And I really liked it.
Yeah. It kind of, it's a little like exposing, because like when we think about like times like way back when, and, you know, some people may want to say it's like all like society nowadays, people are like so much out of control that, you know, people were like, you know, back then, you know, so much more respectful, I guess, in that. But, you know, in this, like, they show these parties, these wild party scenes that are not exactly intimate soirees, and, you know, show. So it really shows that, like, you know, yeah, people were hard partiers back then too.
Yeah, I agree. The only other thing I would say was different is that when Myrtle is killed, right? So spoiler alert for all you people who have read Gatsby or seen the movie, but Tom Buchanan is on the scene, and he is for both, in both the movie and the book. But in the book, he doesn't tell Wilson that it was Gatsby driving the car that hit him. And I had to go back and reread this and watch it, because I'm like, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I wasn't. When I went back and reread it, he never tells him it was Gatsby. Wilson puts it together by asking a few other people and asking around. You know, again, it's more drawn out in the book, and we have time and pages to play with to understand that. Whereas the book, you know, it kind of takes a little bit of a shortcut by telling Wilson it was Gatsby driving the car, which Tom Buchanan does, you know, not knowing ultimately the difference in who was driving. But that was like kind of the one thing at the end where I was like, oh, that's just a little bit different. Because when I was watching the movie and I saw that, I was like, I don't think that happened. And then I went back and reread the pages to figure out how did Wilson find out it was Gatsby. And it was through a different series of events than just Tom Buchanan telling
him. Yeah, it's kind of funny that the book would take the shortcut, because it's usually, you know,
no, the book didn't take the shortcut. The book did it longer. And what I wonder is, in the movie, like, do you think that you get kind of the whole essence of how Nick Carraway felt towards Gatsby, right? Yes, he says like kind of that line is, they're a rotten crowd, you're worth a whole damn bunch put together. You're worth a whole more damn bunch put together. And I'm probably messing up the line right now. But I feel like sometimes in the movie, like, I'm not sure we get that, right? Like, I don't know that you get like the feeling that Gatsby was a little bit more, was morally superior to them.
Yeah, I think like in both the book and the movie, like, there's just such like an awe of mystery to Gatsby, which is obviously the intended, you know, what they intended. But I get the sense that, you know, Nick is just very like just intrigued and wanted to like just find out more about this guy, But yeah, it does make a great point. Gatsby, like, you see like how like he just, you know, throws these parties, but many times isn't actively engaged, and that he maybe could be like a little morally superior. But
and I found the line because I definitely mess it up. Nick Haraway said to him, "They're a rotten crowd. You're worth the whole damn bunch put together." And he said, "I've always been glad I said that. It's the only compliment I ever gave him because I disapproved of him from beginning to end." So I think that's, you know, interesting because, you know, he says he disapproved of them, but he still thinks the Gatsby was better than, you know, Tom Buchanan and Daisy and Jordan.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how they go about that.
Yeah. I mean, so I really like them both. And I remember this movie, you know, I hadn't read The Great Gatsby since high school, probably. And I've seen this movie numerous times before because it's one of them that I really liked. So after I read the book, I rewatched the movie. It was kind of flipping back and forth between the two, but I really, really liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was really well done. Both. I love the book, you know, it's so many great symbolic things that we haven't even gotten, that we don't even get into, just the symbolism in the book, you know, like the eyes are watching God, like the eyes that we're watching, like the eyes of God watching in the Valley of the Ashes and the green light. Like, we didn't even get into any of that because we kind of just talk about the movie and the film and not the symbolism and all of it. But, you know, there's so much great symbolism in these two but aside from that, I find the movies just entertaining.
Yeah, I really enjoyed both. Like the book, like I did take, you know, like at some point, like it did take a little like getting used to getting into it, but then after a while, like I really was intrigued by it. And the movie, and you know, the movie, like it wasn't a perfect film, but you know, I did really enjoy a lot of aspects. And like I said, it's like one of the most visually stunning films I ever saw. And then, and I realized that that, you know, the performances are really great, and especially Leo, because you know, he's one of the most talented actors of all time. You know, look, you know, look at his pedigree. He's done Growing Pains, he's done Critters 3, and so many other
Titanic. Films and shows. Let's not forget Titanic.
Yeah, never heard of it.
And you know what else? Okay. I read with this book. So I read Great Gatsby again over the summer because I was reading So We Read On by Maureen Corrigan, and she had done a reading of her book at Welk, and it's kind of her analysis and how she's reread the book so many times and how much you pick up from it. And there's just so much in her book. And it's really interesting to read them together, you know, and reread The Great Gatsby after reading kind of her words. So I thought that was interesting. But, you know, just a little plug if you're really interested in The Great Gatsby. So We Read On is a great kind of companion.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Well, again, Happy New Year and welcome back to season two. It's hard to believe we're on to season two. And if you like what we're doing, please, you know, give us a review on your listening device, either, you know, Spotify, Apple, wherever it is you choose to listen. We would appreciate it. And keep reading.
And keep watching. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.